this morning on the 30th of October, I've got Mr. Colin Blackmore, an old friend of mine, and been in Hawke's Bay for a great number of years, and was in business, known as H.W. Blackmore, Men's Outfitters, the leading outfitters in Hastings, and Hawke's Bay probably, and a very well-known gentleman. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy.
And nice to be with old friends when we get to this age. So just feel nice and relaxed, and I'm talking to you on behalf of the Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank. Could I ask you a little bit about your father and when he arrived in Hawke's Bay and the setting up of H.W. Blackmore, and then we'll move on to your life.
Right. So I know... My grandfather had a fairly varied sort of a life in the South Island to start off with, then eventually finished owning a farm in Dannevirke, or out of Dannevirke. Then his son, that is my father, Herbert Blackmore, got a job working for Mr. Bullock in a men's outfitter's shop in Dannevirke, and from there, my father left him and went and started the shop in Hastings, in Heratonga Street.
Who did the building belong to?
the building, of course, belonged to Dean Ubigin, later to Jane Ubigin, and we eventually bought it from them. But he started the business, my father started the business in 1924, and we had that shop there right up until 1990, when I closed it down. My father would have run the business from 1924 for about 30 years, and then I took over and ran it for another 30 years until 1990. And what isn't it where we're up to now? What stage are we up to now?
You're up to just when you've you just explained about when you finished up and you worked in it. But tell us about the clothing industry in those days, and you remember the green hat, which you were renowned for?
I think I know what you mean. Of course, a lot of my life to start off with was during the war years, because I went to school, boarding school, Heriwith, in 1938, and then on to collegiate after that, and finished there in 1941. So I'd the complete war at boarding school. 1940 questions, and of course, being the wartime, we couldn't get all the clothing we wanted. And whenever we managed to get a line of sports coats in, everyone in Hastings suddenly found they were wearing the same sports coat. And to get a line of shirts, I remember once my father going off with a pile of peaches for a supplier in Wellington. So it went. And of course those days we never had a sale, because we could sell everything that we could get. After the war, of course, things improved, and we had some very good years from then on, as did the farmers. In some good years. Then, of course, later on, as you know, in the 80s, with Roger Douglas and his reforms, and also with Muldoon's wage freeze coming off, things became much more difficult, as Jimmy, you'll agree, Jim. But anyway, we still existed all right, but it was far more competitive, and we had to join this highly competitive age, which before we, as long as we sold good merchandise, gave good value, we could make a reasonable return. However, the things changed, we had to change our ways a bit, and you would agree with me on that, Jim.
I would.
Let me see.
Now, you had a pretty big staff.
Yes, at one time we were employing 19 people. As time went on, of course, we got down to about 12. And we introduced in 1953 a ladies' department, and we put that upstairs to start off with, and then we found it was better to have it downstairs. But in the first of all, in 1953, I can remember all the women coming to town on a in the mornings, wearing hats, their best clothing, looking resplendent, and walking upstairs to our floor for ladies. But things changed as all the women started to go to work and life became more relaxed. And so then we found it would be more advantageous to put the ladies' department downstairs, where it flourished and did very well.
When I think of your shop, when I think back of your shop, I see the TV the TV program of Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
And going up the stairs, I often think of Blackmore.
That's right, yeah. Very, very much so. It was in those days,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yes, you mentioned the hats. We went to an era, of course, where every young man, especially a farming vintage, all wore, in one stage, was a brown hat, and then you changed to green hat, and everyone had one.
Right. My father used to say he had six hats a year.
Is that
used
right?
To leave them somewhere.
Oh, I see, yeah. Yeah.
The Hastings Club or County Club.
And we had many men that came in, buy a new hat, beat the hell over it before they put it on their head. Anyway,
yeah.
What can I tell you about?
And then was there any other companies in opposition to you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. At one stage, there were 17 outlets for menswear in Hastings. That in when it was Miller and Georgie and Baird's and Hunt's. This was before Thompson's came.
Yeah.
All the department stores, Baird's and Westerman's and others.
Hallenstein's around then?
Where were they? They were somewhere, I forget where they were. Mm. Yes. There were 17 outlets. And that went down eventually to about three. Popables, so they were there too. At one stage, my father, I think he employed Papa Will for a while, I think. Forget now.
Right. And then you had Mr. Davies. Davis?
Yes, he was there.
He was there a while, wasn't he?
Yes, but I don't think we should mention him too much.
Right. Okay, we'll take that out.
You realise why not? Don't mention it. Jim, you might be interested, I don't know whether you will be, in the fact that a small or minor highlight in my career was the introduction of moleskin trousers to Hawke's Bay and indeed to New Zealand. For many years, all young farmers would come back from a trip to Australia, skiting about their moleskin trousers. And eventually I got tired of this, so I gave £5 to Ian Nimmin, and who you will remember well, Jimmy. And he came home, I'd got him, told him my size, and he came back with a pair of moleskin trousers for me. They cost £4.19 in six in Australia. And I then took those trousers to a manufacturer in Auckland and said, I want 100 pairs of these, please. They said, no one would ever buy a trouser like that. You're foolish to think of even making them. I said, I want 100 pairs. So they set about importing the cloth. Within a few weeks, he came back to me and said, all the women in my workplace are in tears. They can't get the needle through the cloth. Let's cut it off. I said, go and get a canvas maker and get the needles from him. So carry on. They said, will you then promise to take every pair? I said, I promise to take every pair. So that was the start of the Moleskine trousers. They delivered 100. I advertised them, and we sold 70 pairs in a week. every young farmer in Hawke's Bay came and bought one. I then put advertisements in the Freelance and the Auckland Weekly. and every day of the an order would come in for a pair of Moleskine trousers from Auckland, from Christchurch mainly. Canterbury and Wairarapa. The orders would come in, not from Auckland, it'd be wrong. And we had great days with those. Eventually, of course, they went out of fashion because jeans came in, and jeans ruined it for the Moleskines. But that happens in trade and in life. We had a great time with them, but then jeans came along, so we joined the denim syndrome then.
And then, of course, denim were not allowed into some restaurants.
That's
if
right.
I remember rightly.
That is right. Yes, you weren't allowed denim. Now, of course, you're allowed denim anywhere because it's part of dress.
Yeah.
And the jean cut is popular. The narrower trousers.
Yeah. And then we had the tweed jackets, of course.
Oh yes,
you had to wear a sports jacket.
It's an absolute sweat. And the cavalry twill trousers, forgotten about them. Of course, every one of us had a pair of cavalry twill trousers and a check sports coat.
That's right.
And to start off with, of course, they were even Harris tweed sports coats, but then we found Harris tweed was a bit too heavy for Hawke's Bay, so we went into a lighter cloth, but mainly check.
I think they more or less said you were undressed if you didn't have a jacket on and a hat.
Yes, that's right. And of course, we all wore ties. I can remember, and you will remember, Jimmy, you would be wearing a tie at golf.
Correct.
We all wore ties to golf.
And we still have one, although I think he's given up golf now, Hugh Van Ash, who still wears a tie.
That's right.
A tie.
Quite
everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And what about your sporting prowess? Now, you're a bit of a golfer, you know, not top-notch, I don't think, if I may say that, but you're pretty interested in golf.
I love my golf, and it stresses me that I can't go out there now because my knees have given up, but no, I love the golf game and all that went with it. Of course, in the old days, we would stay there far too long afterwards, drink up heavy. Then that all stopped with the drink driving.
Yeah. And then again, you're also chairman of the starting up of squash in Hastings.
Yes, I remember. You reminded me about that the other day.
Yeah. Made some big decisions and a bit like a number of things these days, they took a long time to get off the ground.
What, the squash club?
No, some of the decisions which were made at meetings.
Oh, yes, quite, yeah. Yes. How right you are.
So, retirement, and then what happened? Trips overseas, and
we gave up the shop because of I had siblings, and quite rightly they said, look, we would like our share of everything. So with the Blackmore family got together, we decided to sell the shop and shut the shop down and sell the building, sell a couple of houses, a house in Taupo, and everything, and divide it between us. That was in the late 80s. And in 1990, when we gave up the shop, at that time, we'd been having exhibitions of art upstairs in the shop. And we decided to carry on in Long Cottage in Iona Road, where we lived. We had a large garage there, and so we converted it to an art gallery. And from 1990 until around about 2007, I forget now, we had art exhibitions there, and they were great fun and reasonably profitable. We met an enormous amount of people, art people and others. We had a lot of great customers who used to come in and buy the art. So it was, I was half retired, as it were, and we loved that time because we weren't working 8 hours a day. We just worked flat out for a week, and then it would be another month or so, 2 months, before we had another exhibition. We used to bring the work in from artists from all over the country. We endeavoured to get the best, and we were very successful at it. Lots of fun. It was quite a fun time there.
And pretty social too.
Yeah, very social. Yeah. If if you happened to be there, as some people made a point of doing, at 5 o'clock, you would definitely get shouted. So the wine and gin always came out at that time. So long as the right people were there.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, we had a lot of fun with that art gallery. Reached any great heights in the professional world, apart from running a business. You know, I was president of JC at one time. I was a member of a Rotary. I was on the ANP committee. I was chairman of the Hawke's Bay Retailers Association. But otherwise, I haven't got a great record of community service.
I'm surprised at that, that the city council hadn't, perhaps they didn't do those sort of things in those days. They present certificates now to people for what they've done in the community.
But I haven't done a lot, I don't think.
Yeah, but having business, I know people with businesses, you know, just because they had a business in Hastings, that they got a certificate from the council.
Oh, did they?
Mm.
Well.
Yeah,
well, I think I'd qualify for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, of course, you probably weren't in the top echelon like myself.
Yes, quite right.
Yeah. Yeah.